There's the fanfare. That means it is time for a movie review with Matt Olien. Matt, I watched the trailer for St. Maud. It scared me just 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
It is a scary, creepy film that is finally available to the American public. This was shot in Great Britain in 2019, pre-COVID. Now you can find it on streaming, on Prime. It's also on pay cable. So I finally saw it, and at the recommendation of several friends of mine, to watch it. So yes, it is creepy. It is about a young nurse played by Morfydd Clark. Morfydd Clark is a wonderful Welsh actress who was so good last year in The Personal History of David Copperfield. This is a very different role. She is a nurse who moves to private care because she lost a patient previously, and it really wasn't her fault, but she has this conversion, and she starts taking care of this cancer patient who's a former dancer, played by Jennifer Eilly. And in the meantime, she has a religious conversion, okay, where she becomes rather fanatical and really wants to save Amanda's soul. Amanda's the character that Jennifer Eilly plays, and she wants to kind of save her soul, even if Amanda's not terribly interested in having her soul saved. So it's really a film about religious fanaticism. Where does that cross the line into insanity? So We're inside Maud's head all the time. She is a devout Christian, devout Catholic. She wants to get through to people. How does that affect her job? All the while, Rose Glass, first-time director, gives us this kind of creepy, dark, dank atmosphere. It takes place in a seaside British town, kind of a drab British town. It's always raining. It's always foggy, just like we like to think of Great Britain, right,
yeah,
in the movies. So I love the atmosphere to it. There's really a slow burn. It's a short film, about 85 minutes, but I would call it a steady tightening of the screw film. Where's this going? Where is her fanaticism going? You know, where is fantasy and reality leave off for Maud? And so it's this steady climb to 85 minutes of screw tightening toward what I will say, because you have to see it, it is a frightening ending. It is an ending you will not soon forget. I like the special effects that are used in the movie. Morfydd Clark is very good as Maud. She's a wonderful young actress. I think she's really going places. So I liked her a lot. I liked the atmosphere about it. Maybe it could have been 10 minutes longer. It felt a little short, but it gave me memories of Carrie with Sissy Spacek and also Repulsion, 1965 with Catherine Deneuve, which was Roman Polanski's first English language film. It reminded me of those two movies and kind of this isolated woman dealing with her mental acuity type movie. That's what those movies are about, and that's exactly what this is about. I would recommend this. It's a nice short watch, 85 minutes, and it's streaming now, and it's also on pay cable. So check your listings for St. Maud.
Well, you did spend a lot more time than 85 minutes watching the most recent Oscars.
Yes.
This is another one that went on for ages, it sounds like,
well,
right?
Well, for an Oscar show, it was short, Ashley. It was only 199 minutes. We were done by 10:19 p.m. That's early, considering in my childhood, my old days, my dad and I would be up till 11:30 watching these shows.
Wow.
But this was relatively fast. The pace was very quick for an Oscar show, and that I will attribute to producer Steven Soderbergh, Oscar-winning director, who they brought in to kind of liven things up. It was mostly at Union Station in Los Angeles. There were some nominees that were at the British Film Institute, some in Paris, but most of the nominees were in Los Angeles at Union Station. My understanding was, if not all, pretty much close to all the nominees in attendance were fully vaccinated, so you did not see mask wearing. They were following protocols, so I like that it wasn't a Zoom award show. I am in full Zoom fatigue. Golden Globes were a disaster with Zoom. This was not a Zoom award show, so that was the good thing. However, I think the film look that Steven Soderbergh gave it sort of took away the kind of what we call live tension in the hall, and there were some pushback and some complaints about that, and it resulted in the lowest rated Oscar show ever. Now, there could be a couple things at work there, Ashley. It could be that some were turned off by the political speeches. And I also think it was a strange movie year. I have run into so many people, Ashley, who just have not seen these Best Picture nominees. They weren't in theaters for the most part. People have trouble finding them on streaming. So let's see what happens next year if things can kind of go back to the way they were. They'll never be like they were in the 70s and 80s and 60s when there were three networks and everyone watched the Oscars. There's too much viewing choices now. Mm-hmm. As for the awards, Nomadland was the winner, maybe not a big winner. It only won three awards. I thought it would get cinematography and screenplay as well.
It won three big ones.
Three big ones, but it was thought it might win five. The surprise of the night was Anthony Hopkins. Now, I did tell you last week, I did think there was a chance he would pull off the upset over Chadwick Boseman. The problem with the show was they saved that award for last, and it was this abrupt ending to the show because Hopkins was asleep in Wales. He was not at the awards. He released a statement the next day thanking the Academy, paying tribute to Chadwick Boseman. The thought was Boseman's widow would go up and accept the award. It would be very emotional. I think Hopkins deserved it. I told you that once I saw The Father. That was the best performance of the year. It's not Anthony Hopkins' fault that he won. It was a vote that was taken, and he is now the 10th man to win multiple lead actor Oscars. Everything else kind of went to chalk. Frances McDormand, her third best actress win. I was hoping for Carey Mulligan. I think she should have won for Promising Young Woman. But the supporting awards went exactly as I thought they would as well, with Daniel Kaluuya and Yoo Jung-yoon.
And the first woman of color to win a directing award and only the second woman overall, right?
Right. Catherine Bigelow was the first woman to win Best Director. That was The Hurt Locker in 2009. Mm-hmm. So Chloe Zhao, she attended the South Dakota Film Festival about 3-4 years ago. Yeah. And now she's an Oscar winner. So
yeah.
that was great to see. But interesting looking award show. I'm not quite sure they'll try to repeat that look next year when they'll be back in the theater that they usually are at. I think it's the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. So we'll see. It was a strange movie year, and I expect the industry to really ramp up this year. We saw the trailer to West Side Story. It looks great. That'll be out later this year.
It seems like they could have maybe at least just let Soderbergh know who was going to win so that they wouldn't have bungled the ending.
Yeah, it's like Fort Knox. Those winners are kept very secret.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Yep.